Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Brian Oxer this morning are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture. With that being said, good morning, Brother Oxer.
Morning.
How are you this morning,
I'm
sir?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
I appreciate it. You are sitting in again for as we kind of jokingly call him, the Great Scott. He is still tending to his mom, and our thoughts and prayers continue to be with that family.
Yes.
And we again, I appreciate you so much because you've had a big week this week. You have the responsibilities at school, Paintsville, and then we've been having VBS this week, and you kind of are been heading that up and doing the adult class. Great job, by the way, and singing with the kids. So you have to be probably dragging just a little bit this morning, baby.
It wears you out sometimes, but, you know, something's going to wear you out, so it might as well be, you know, something like that. So
the Lord's work.
That's right. It's a good time, Vacation Bible School is, and I think the folks have been enjoying it. We've had about between 220 and 230 each night. That's not just kids, that's the adults too. So we've had a lot of folks there, and it's been fun.
It has been a lot of fun. We'd like to invite you listening today, if you'd like to give us a call. Maybe you have a question that Brian can help you with, or I can't imagine that I could be of much of assistance, but I'll do my best. 789-0318, 789-0318. Again, if you have sent us a question at our email address, we will get to those. Just be patient with us. But the email address, if you'd like to send a question in, is godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. And again, the phone number, if you want to call us right now, 789-0318. Are you up? I should have asked this before. Are you up for questions this morning?
I guess. I mean, we'll see.
Do the best we can with what we got to do.
I guess we'll find out if anybody asks one. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll just do the best we can and try to figure out, you know, what we can find, you know, from the Bible. Like you said, we'll just... I'm sure I'm not right on everything, so we'll take a look at it.
As the saying goes, there's only one perfect man ever walked the face of the earth. So we don't claim to be right about everything, but we are trying to do better every day. And I think that's the thing that all Christians should be striving for. I admire Jerry, since he's not here, let's talk about him. I admire Jerry because even in Jerry's age, and he's been preaching 40-some years, I guess, now,
I think 42 years. So,
and he still is changing. You can see it when you watch him, when you listen to him, and he will tell you that once you learn better, you do better. So we're always growing, we're always changing, and some things we know for sure. We know that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save our souls and died for us on the cross, was risen the third day, went back to be at the right hand of the Father. We know those things. We don't have to change about that. But there is certain things that we're all confused about, and that's what brought this program around.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always things that people think, well, you know, and also there are things that, you know, the Scripture is a matter of interpretation at times. Mm-hmm. People look at it, and I may read it one way, and you may read it another. And so, you know, there's times when folks aren't going to agree on what a certain passage means or some of those things. But, you know, there are a lot of things that that are easy to agree on, and that's one of the reasons that you know, I like to study the people that God wrote about. Mm-hmm. Because you can really a lot of times there's not much gray area there. You can see this is what they did and God approved of that, and this is what they didn't do and God didn't approve of that. So, you know, those kind of things we can learn a lot from, and we can look at that. So I think, you know, that you know, there are some things that, you know, are, you know, sometimes maybe a matter of opinion, or not necessarily opinion, but a matter of interpretation, the way you may look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all bring with us our own personal bias. You know, we feel certain ways about certain things, and whether we mean to or not, we're going to read things the way we want to sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's just natural. That's just the way that we are as people. And so that's why sometimes there's such a very varying opinions about certain subjects, because we all come from it from a different point of view. None of us were raised the same way. You know, even if we're raised in the same house, we still are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like probably, I guess you would think the most person most like me in this world genetically is my brother. You know, I'm 41 years old. My brother Brent is 40 years old. But I don't know if you know my brother or not.
No.
He lives in Georgetown. He grew up here, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, we're about the same size. I'm a little taller than him. Thank goodness I get to rib him on that.
So you can truly be the big brother?
Yeah. But he has coal black hair.
Wow.
And dark skin. And, of course, folks that know me know that that's not necessarily the case with me. Never been accused of being tall, dark, and handsome. You know, I've got the orange hair and the freckles and, you know, the skin cancer waiting to happen kind of skin tone, you know. And so my brother's different in that way. But, you know, we did grow up, you know, with the same mom and dad, the same sister, and in the same house, you know, went to the same school, same church. But we are a lot alike. You know, there are a lot of things we love to do together, and a lot of but we also are different about things. And you know, so everybody's unique. You mm-hmm. know, everybody has their own way of looking at things, their own way of doing things. And it doesn't necessarily mean every time that it's right or it's wrong. You know, my brother and I love him very much. He loves me, and we get along great. But he works with cars every day, does a great job with that. You know, he went to college and he's had all kinds of training on how to work on automobiles, and I work with people and in the school setting. And so, you know, it's just a different kind of thing. You know, we both work hard. You know, we still like to do a lot of the same kind of things for fun. You know, together we do those things. But, I mean, it's just everybody has their own point of view, even people that are very much alike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't come as a big revelation to folks, because anybody that's a parent that has more than one kid can tell you that
they're all different.
Wow, how can these two kids be sisters or brothers or brother and sister?
Yeah.
And so, you know, even though there are many, many things that they are so much alike
mm-hmm.
in areas, there's also many things that those brothers and sisters are different in. And that doesn't mean one of them's good and one of them's bad or anything like that. We're different. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, that we have different, you know, people when they gather together in groups to worship, they gather with people that are more similar to them or views or people that are like them.
I've got a good friend of mine, and he says like-minded Christians, because even though we're all Christians, some of us are not like-minded. It doesn't mean that one's wrong and one's right. I think it goes back to exactly what you're talking about. It's just we kind of feel the same way as what we interpret, the way maybe we worship, the traditions
right.
that are in the church. Not that it's right, not that it's wrong. It's just the way it is. So it's like-minded Christians. So you do group together. And even in churches, Brian, different churches, you have various different groups that are like-minded even within the church.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you definitely do. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to think that everybody is going to agree on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we try to, you know, if we can agree on the Lord Jesus, that's a great place to start. And you know, there's a whole lot of other things that we may have different interpretations or opinions on. But I just think that's natural. That's just a part of life. That's just the way people are. You know, people are going to be, you know, have a little bit of differences there. And you know, it's sometimes it's good, you know, because you can learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can help each other. You can learn from them. And you can, sometimes it helps to take a step back and look at it from somebody else's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to see where they're coming from, and helps you not be maybe so centered on yourself sometimes if you think about the way other people see that or those kind of things. And so, you know, that's a good thing. But, you know, one thing that is good is when people can, when you study the Word, that's one of the reasons I like, and I've already mentioned it once, so I guess I'm getting redundant here, but to study some of those stories that are pretty cut and dry, this is what happened, and, you know, this was pleasing to God and this wasn't, those kind of things. I think sometimes if we would, as people in general, if we would, instead of worrying about some of the things that we're not sure about, let's concentrate on the things we do know about and try to get those as best we can. Do those things as best we can, and I think that would help a lot, instead of arguing about other things, maybe.
Or pointing fingers and saying you're not doing this right because somebody doesn't do it the way you do it.
Right.
And that's why we see so many different names over churches, so many different denominations, is because of different ways that people worship, different traditions that they have, different beliefs that they have. But I love the way that Jerry talks about it. You know, if you believe, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened the third day, and he arose from the dead, he's the right hand of the Father, you're my brother and you're my sister. We may have differences, but it's not a salvation issue. It's just what is more like-minded to you. And there's enough of people pointing fingers back at one another. And when you have somebody that is not a Christian, or you have somebody that is, you know, sitting back watching it all take place, you know, you're not drawing them to the Lord. And that's our primary job. We're here to witness to people, and that isn't a good witness when we're fighting amongst each other. It reminds me of kind of the political realm of things. You know, let's say Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians or Tea Party, whatever. And if you've got eight different candidates in there and they're all yelling and screaming back and forth with one another, you're just done with it,
right,
pretty much, yeah. You know. And it works that way for the church. If all Christians go around pointing out everybody else's faults or what they don't think is right, or we don't believe this way or that way, you know, and you kind of hit on that in Matthew last night about judging other people. I think it kind of goes into that. Let's worry about ourselves. Let's do the best that we can and be a great witness for the Lord, and that what this is all about. It's not pointing out the faults of our brothers or sisters just because they have a different belief.
Right. And you know, when you talk about the, when people see Christians fighting among themselves, then it's a great big turnoff. I mean, I would hate to try to project that, because what we try to do is we want to try to project, you know, as close as we can to the kind of life Jesus would have us to live. And I don't think it's an argumentative, quarrelsome kind of life that he wants us to be a part of.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that you don't ever stand up for what you believe in either, you know, but we got to teach the truth and love.
Yeah,
we got to teach the truth and love. And a lot of times when you're talking with somebody, people don't always remember everything you said, but they almost always remember how you said it, whether you said it with kindness, whether you said it with harshness. You know, that's true with our families. That's true with the people we work with. You know, we can say the truth, and we can say it in a way that is going to tear down and hurt people. And we could say that same truth in a way that might build them up and encourage them, or even just, you know, and sometimes, you know, maybe sometimes you do have to, you know, you do have to take a stand, and that sometimes hurts or offends people. But we still need to do that, you know, with the spirit of love, and not where we're trying to, you know, say, hey, this is the way it is because I say it's this way, or,
yeah.
You know, I think sometimes we will let issues get personal and just because we want to be right, you know, because nobody likes to be wrong.
I mean, exactly.
Just for the most, I mean, I don't know anybody that says, hey, you know, I got that wrong and I was tickled to death, you know, but I think, you know, most people want to try to do things the right way, and then they want people to think that they're doing it the right way, you know, and so it's a tough thing. But I think you just have to be conscious all the time of how you treat people. I always try to tell my kids and myself that you got to treat people better than they deserve, because Jesus treated us better than we deserve.
Amen.
And so, you know, if somebody's a jerk to you, you don't have to be a jerk back to them. That doesn't mean you have to spend much time with them or be around them a lot.
Or to stand and put up with
right.
it. You can turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
And just tell them, have a nice day, and just walk away.
Yeah, you know, and just you just got to treat folks. And you got to understand, too, that people are going to have bad days. And sometimes people are going to say things they don't mean, you know. You know, for the most part, probably teenagers, what they say between the ages of 13 and 19 probably doesn't really count much for anything anyway, right? You know, because who knows what's coming out of their mouth, right?
I remember that all too well with myself, let alone anybody else.
You know, but, you know, there are a lot of great teenagers in the world. I'm just giving them a hard time because I have two in my house, two teenage girls in my house right now. So but, you know, it's important for us to remember that we can't control anybody's behavior but ours.
Yeah,
We can't control their thoughts. We can't control the way they perceive us, but we can control how we perceive them, how we treat them, how we behave toward them. And you know, if we remember that we're all God's creation, and that we're all God's children, mm-hmm. that He brought us all into this world, and He loves us all. If we can remember that, then it's helpful us to remember that that's God's child. And so we ought to treat them with respect just because of who they are, because of who their dad is.
Their father, their Abba, if you will, mm-hmm. because He is yours as well, you know. And like you said earlier, it goes back to if we treat other people that way, and God had treated or Jesus treated us that way, we would be doomed forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there because of the grace that is given us. And I think that's what it all boils down to. And there may be people listening that really kind of understand, but they don't know exactly where we are. And that's where we come with grace. You're saved by grace. And that's what we're to extend to other people, forgiveness and grace.
Yeah, grace just means favor that you've not earned.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means you're being treated well, even though you didn't earn it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what grace means, unearned favor. And it's something you can't earn, you know. And this kind of reminds me of something I've been reading. You know, it's the Women's World Cup of Soccer just finished up.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, Hope, is a big soccer fan, and she and my daughter Abby and my son Cal, they all like to watch the Women's World Cup soccer. But my daughter Hope is a soccer player, and she's a goalie. And of course, the goalie on the women's national team is Hope Solo. Her name is Hope too. My daughter's a goalie, and so she enjoys watching soccer. And she was recently reading about the Women's World Cup soccer team. Well, you know, when you have 23 grown women, you're going to have a lot of varying views and a lot of varying lifestyles. And, of course, they do on that team. But one young lady that we were reading about, her name is Tobin Heath. I think it's pronounced Tobin. It's T-O-B-I-N or Tobin. Maybe it's Tobin. I think it's Tobin. Tobin Heath, she's a midfielder on the U.S. women's soccer team, and she's a Christian. And a very outspoken Christian, and she seems like a fine young lady. I've read some things after her, and she when they won the Women's World Cup the other night, she tweeted out, I don't know if you tweet or not, but she tweeted out, thank you, Lord, and, you know, a picture of praying hands and a soccer ball. And she says that what she tries to, and they were interviewing her after the game, and they were asking her, you know, how you feel. And she said, you know, first, you know, I want to thank, you know, the Lord Jesus, because I play, so I get a chance to glorify him to the masses, you know. And so, you know, she was, you know, commenting on that and talking a little bit about that. And then somebody in the interview was asking her, well, you know, you're on the U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team, where we know that you have all kinds of ranges of people. There are 23 adult women here. Some of them don't believe in God at all. Some of them don't really have a stand. Some of them believe in God but just don't really have a relationship with him. And then there are some that have, you know, a Christian relationship with him. How do you deal with those people on a day-to-day basis as your teammates? How do you treat those people? How do you handle playing alongside those people who don't share your belief? And she said, well, she was talking about, you know, God's grace and mercy upon her. And she said, so what I try to do is I'm always going to try to, you know, live my life as best I can to the way that God would have me to do that. And so what I feel like I need to do is, you know, I need to be an example, and I try to do that. If somebody gets hurt on the team, I offer to pray with them, and they're very accepting of that. We usually pray when somebody gets injured, those kind of things. Even people that may not necessarily believe don't mind to have somebody offer up prayers for them. And she said, and so what I try to do is I try to love all of my teammates. And she said, I either love them as a sister in Christ, if they are, or as a friend, because I have friends on this team who aren't Christians, but I love them dearly, and they're my friends. And, you know, I hope that someday that they'll come to Christ. But so I love, first of all, the friends that are Christians as sisters in Christ, and then I love the others as friends and try to treat them just as well as I can and help them out. And then I have some people that are on the team that, you know, don't spend a lot of time with away from the field, and we have, you know, very maybe drastic views of world views. I have a biblical view. They may have a more different view. And she said, so I try to love them as teammates and treat them as best I can. And she said, that's really what works for me is I find a way to love that person and find something in common with them, whether it's just being teammates on this team. And she said, you know, that has worked for her. And she gets along with all those girls because she doesn't try to pretend or act like she's better than any of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants to show her witness and just in the way she lives. And, you know, when she gets a chance to talk to them about the Lord, she does and stuff. But and so I was talking to my kids about that. That's a pretty good way to go about it, you know, because sometimes you're going to find yourself, whether you're at work or whether you're at school or on a team or all kinds of situations where you're going to be around people who share your faith. Like you were saying, they're going to be like-minded and they're going to have the same kind of faith that you have. But you're also going to have people who aren't really decided yet about faith, and you can be friends with them.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have people that have opposing views to you. And maybe you're not going to hang out, and you know you're not going on vacation with their family. You're not going to be close super friends, but you can still be good to them. You can still treat them well, and you can still show them how a Christian's supposed to live. You know, because you're going to be interacting with them. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good analogy, and that she uses on her with her teammates. And you know, I've seen some of the interaction, you know, from the games and some of the press conferences and stuff, and it seems like, you know, it works well for her. And it's, you know, it's refreshing to see those kind of things, and I thought she had a pretty good take on it, the young lady did.
I like the way you said that, and I like the way I love the whole story. But then there's sometimes for us Christians that people are just mean.
Oh, yeah.
And spiteful and vindictive or whatever the case may be. And I think there's times, Brian, and help me with how you feel about this, but if somebody's just mean, I mean, you know, just cutting you down, making fun, belittling you all the time, treating them well could be, for me, is just not responding to that and walking away from it.
Oh, yeah.
Because our intuition, as we have flesh in our body, and our first thought is, you want to give it to me, I'm going to give it right back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it accomplishes nothing, and that's a I think that, well, it's a test for us. It's an opportunity for us if we can ever look at it. And I have the biggest struggle with that ever, because keeping my mouth shut, I am a talker and I can ramble. I can talk for a half hour and never say anything. But, and sometimes that's very hard to do. But even treating the well, so I don't, what my point is here is, I don't want people to think that, well, I've got to let them just walk all over me, right, or do whatever. Treating them well could be just not responding back in the same manner that they are responding to you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that sometimes the best thing you can do is to remove yourself from a situation, because you're going to do something that's not going to be helpful to you, and it's not going to be helpful to the person. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there are times when people are maybe treating you that you stand up for yourself and say, this is what I believe, and, you know, I'm not putting up with this, and, you know, I'm not fooling with you anymore.
I'm done.
You know, don't, you know, and I think that there's nothing wrong with that, too. But one of my favorite Bible verses from the book of Proverbs says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. So,
yeah.
So that's some good advice. So sometimes the best thing to do is just to be quiet,
yeah,
and close your mouth and get out of the situation. And, you know, sometimes that's the wisest thing to do, is to just keep your mouth closed and you know, and get out of there. Now, there are times, you know, the Bible says, you know, there's time for everything, but there are times when you stand up and you defend yourself. And I think it's even more important that we defend the people who can't defend themselves.
Amen.
You know, one of the writers, James of the New Testament, you know, one of the things that we need to do is defend the widows and the fatherless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reference to people that, you know, sometimes can't defend themselves, especially during that time. That's the way a widow or an orphan would be treated. So we need to, you know, if we see somebody that's being mistreated, we need to step in there and help take care of that as well. But there's definitely a time when we just need to remove ourselves from the situation. You know, we have examples of that. Sometimes it may be not that somebody is mistreating you. Somebody may be trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, they may be trying to get you to do something that you know is wrong and you don't want to have any part of. And, well, you know, one example we have from the Bible is Joseph. He was being tempted by Potiphar's wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wanted, you know, to have a relationship with him, and he said, this is not right, and he just ran out of the room. He
yeah.
just ran away. And,
yep.
you know, sometimes it's okay to just take yourself out of a situation. It may be that, you know, you can't handle it if you're going to be there, and so remove yourself, and you may just not want to have to deal with that situation, or it's one that you can't deal with any other way. Sometimes it's okay to just remove yourself from a situation. And I think if our choice is doing something that we're going to regret, whether it's how we treat somebody or it's whether it's something we do ourselves, and if our choice is to do something we're going to regret or to remove ourselves, I think removing yourself is the best thing to do.
And sometimes that's hard for us as we're caught up in the moment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the worldly view of things, that's where the pressure comes on, especially with young people. The worldly view says, you know, if most men, I guess, in that situation, well, you know, what kind of man are you to run out? To
right.
run. And because the worldly view teaches you that no, that's not it. But when you read, and that's the importance of knowing what's in Scripture, seeking the Lord, diligently seeking, is studying the Bible. And as you very well have said, studying those old saint patrons, the stories that have come out, there's a reason they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that's maybe not applicable to today. But reading those stories and learning about Joseph and Potiphar, because, you know, a lot of times we're going to find ourselves, Satan knows exactly when to come at us and exactly how to come at us and exactly the right time to come at us. And we have to stand for what we know is true and make a courageous decision to do what is right. And like you said, you know, Joseph wasn't mean to her, but he just removed himself from the situation, got away from it.
Yeah, he got out of there. And you know, it just... we go ahead and get a plug in here, right out of time. So, you know, we put on our armor, the armor of God, which is our theme for Bible school. And we still got two more nights. We got to, tonight we're going to be studying Elisha and going to get to and how Elisha witnessed God's heavenly host
mm-hmm.
and getting ready to go to battle. And then Tomorrow night we're going to have a big celebration of all the things we've done this week. We'll have a short class and then a big presentation for the families, and we'll have a cookout and some inflatables for the kids and have a lot of fun. So if you don't have anything to do tonight, come out at 6:30 and we'll have a big time.
Yeah, from 6:30 to 8:30 we'll feed the kids, yep. Feed the grown-ups as well. Yep. We've had food each night and very good. I love the tacos in a bag. It was good stuff.
Those are tiger tacos. We love them.
How did you come up with tiger tacos, I wonder?
Everything's better with a tiger attached to it or in blue. That's the way I look at it.
Okay, I'll take your word for that, Brian. He's a little biased, folks,
Everybody's got their own point of view.
There you go. But anyway, folks, we'd like to thank you for joining us. Brian, I appreciate you so much for coming in again today. I've really enjoyed it. And we have classes for adults, too, tonight. So bring your kids and bring yourself, and Brian will be teaching that class this evening. It's a great time, the Highland Church of Christ. We're located at 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. Again, VBS is going on tonight and tomorrow night. Starts at 6:30, lasts till 8:30. You can join us for regular services Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. I forgot regular church service Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. And, of course, Looking to Jesus, Jerry will have a message on the radio for 7 a.m. Sunday morning right here at WSIP. Again, we'd like to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.